You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to support and encourage Christians who lead. When it comes to being a Christian in leadership, it really helps when you enjoy what you're doing. Of course, we may not always be blessed by what God asks us to do, but enjoying leading and serving God are not a mutually exclusive events. This is certainly the experience of my guests today, Lara and Will Sussman. She and her husband, Will, came to faith on the Isle of Wight and were looking to see how they could serve him. They were able to combine their love of skiing and running ski chalets to develop a mission to reach those who go skiing in the village of Meribel in the French Alps. Altitude Mission was born, which has been described as street pastors on skis. I'm delighted to welcome Will and Lara today. Welcome, guys, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Thanks, Andy. Lovely to be here.
So, I mean, some listeners will know that I'm from the Isle of Wight, what we call the island, of course, but we've never actually met. So it was a mutual friend who put us in touch. My brief introduction glossed over the many ways in which you sense God's hand in setting up Altitude Missions. So maybe you can fill in the blanks.
Yeah, sure, Andy. Well, it all started about 15 years ago when we both became Christians. We had grown up with no faith for, gosh, over 40 years. And then we met Jesus on the island, which was incredible. And everything changed as soon as we accepted Jesus into our life, everything changed, Andy. So that was 15 years ago. And we just developed an absolute love of the Bible. We totally loved it and started reading it and actually took it seriously. So when it suggested doing something, then we really tried to do it, which was great.
As you said in your introduction, we've been running a ski chalet business in Meribel for about, 15 years by that point, as a secular business. And so I was actually walking down the street one day in Meribel and just praying to God, God, you've clearly put us in Meribel for a reason. How come? And there's this little mountain alpine chapel in the middle of Meribel. It's stone walls with a wooden roof, beautiful little chapel, but it's never, ever used. And the door's always firmly shut. But as I was praying this prayer, I saw the door open. It's like it was already open. I was like, if God gives you an open door, you've got to go through it. So went through the open door, met the key holder of the chapel, who I didn't even know existed, a French man, had a chat with him. And anyway, long story short, we partnered with a charity called CORA, which stands for Christian Outreach in the Alps, who have been running a church service in Verbier, a Swiss ski resort for many years, and had actually just started praying a few months previously about finding a second resort to run church in. And we contacted them and started running a church service in this little mountain chapel.
So we moved all the family out to Meribel for the season. And Altitude Mission, really, we didn't intend to start anything. It actually all started with a tragedy, Andy. I had a friend on the Isle of Wight who fell off the cliff on the island and left two young children. So my Sammy, who was 10 at the time, was just saying to me, how can this happen? Where is God? How can he do this? And he asked for prayer to sort of help him understand. So we prayed. And he said, after we prayed, he said, Mom, if I can get in touch with Linz West from LZ7, then I'll listen to what he says and he might be able to answer my questions. So we'd only ever seen Linz on stage with LZ7 at the Big Church Day Out, which we absolutely loved. Sammy was a big fan. But we really didn't know how to contact him. But we found out that one of our previous chaplains knew him. So he sent an email to Lynn saying, there's a 10-year-old boy in Meribel who needs your help. And it just so happens at the same time, Lynn's has just had a ski holiday cancelled and his flight was still going. So him and his son were looking for ski holidays in Meribel. And in comes our email saying, can he help? So he rang me up and said, can I come and stay? So on the Sunday, Sammy and I prayed. On the Monday, Linz rings me up. And on the Tuesday, Sammy picked him up from the airport and had him for a week, in Maribel, which was incredible, really. And during that week, Altitude was born. We were doing a lot of brainstorming and Altitude was born. And we knew we needed to get people in the ski resort to change their perceptions of who God was and to change their perception really of who Christians were. Because we'd spent sort of 40 years running from Christians. And so we wanted to introduce them to a different God that we'd met than the one we had presumed existed.
Well, what a fabulous story. That's so terrific. And it kind of leads into my next question, because I was going to say you won't be the first mission leaders who have a family and need to accommodate them, but your family was already, in one sense, involved. But it's still kind of a challenge to be in two places in the same year, on the Isle of Wight and Maribel. So how did it all work out in their education and growing up?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big challenge. But one we sort of grabbed with a sort of spirit of adventure, really. Our oldest kid was 20 at the time. So she was the one actually that suggested we come and we were going to open the chapel, that we came for the whole season. She stayed behind. She was at uni. But we brought the other three and two dogs with us. Our number two has got special needs, so that brought its own challenges. He's got learning difficulties and autism. But we've always done things together as a family, so off we headed to the mountains. The first season we came was just full of chaos and spiritual attack. And the very first ski run we did, my son Fred was helicoptered off the slopes. He'd had a ski accident, broken his hand and been concussed. And Will's business was just complete chaos that year.
We called it the 40 Towers. We had sort of chefs fighting with customers and all sorts of things that just don't happen. But one thing we did do that year, actually, Andy, is we, because in that first season, we as a family took one of the chalets that we normally rent out. So we just prayed to God, look, if this is going to work, it's got to work financially for us. So we need a bumper season so that lots of guests come out. And that year was the best snowfall season in over 40 years. So much so that by about mid-March, I just had enough of shoveling snow off the car. I was actually afraid, okay, enough, God, you've made your point.
But so. I think that the benefits have been huge for the kids as well. So, you know, they've gained so many good friends. We were at a wedding last weekend in Northern Ireland. 36 altitudes were there who had worked for us. And they know and love our kids. And they also, it's beautiful seeing their relationship with our Harry, with our learning difficulty kid, because they love him and he really loves them. Mm. And it's also so important that these young adults share a chalet with someone with learning difficulties for a season to sort of realize that they're not just a label, but they're people and people that they can become friends with. So that was great.
Fabulous. Well, we've talked about the mission, but not gone down into detail. People will be wondering, well, hang on, how does this all work? So there are two major elements in the work, if I understand it correctly, equipping young Christians who come out to be part of a team, and ministering to those on the slopes and the seasonal staff. But so perhaps you could explain how it works. How does all that come together?
So, yeah, you've summarized it very well. So we have a large chalet. It's called Chalet Altitude. And the gap, their gap year or their post-uni, they're young Christians taking a six-month break, anything age between sort of 18 and 25. And they come out to serve with us for the season. And then as well as them in the chalet, we have what we call ski and servers. And they're anyone Christian that wants to come out on a holiday with a purpose. Come and ski for a bit, but come and do mission as well. So they could help in the kitchen. They might be able to lead worship, or they could take a seminar, anything like that. So we have this mix of people in the chalet. And then the outreach part of the program, there's two aspects. One is we do open nights within the chalet. So we do an event called Beer and Burgers, where we get up to, well, over 200 local workers coming into the chalet every Wednesday night for a free beer, free burger. The rule is we don't bash them over the head with the Bible. We don't preach at them, but the less we say, the more they ask. And you know, just ask questions like, why are you doing this? You know, who's paying for it? And what we find is it just begins to build relationships. And then you build those relationships, and then further and further down the line, they just keep asking questions. So we have this one, one of my favorite beer and burger stories is we had this French guy called Louis. So the way we do it is we have a big burger bar station. The seasonaires with the local workers, they form a queue, and each when you get to the front of the queue, Lara and I are standing behind the station, and we ask them Yeah, do they want ketchup, onions, mushrooms? Yeah, the whole. We made these really lovely burgers because, you know, we wanted to show off God's abundant generosity. Anyway, this young man comes up and I said, "Hi, what's your name?" He goes, "Louis," and I'm asking his burger order. I'm building his burger. You get about 30 seconds to build the burger, and with each seasonaire. And he just said to me, "I said I have no purpose in my life," and I said, "Right, Louis, we need to go and meet up for a coffee." And so from that, we actually started reading Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life with him. And then we started reading the Bible. And then by the end of the season, he's given his life to Jesus. He's got baptized. So it's the open house night. So they're kind of like an on-ramp to bring seasonaires in, and then we build relationship. And then that takes them further on that journey.
And we also do Ski Angels, which is like our street pastors on skis. So we stand outside the bars on the slope. And when the bars close, all the really drunken people come out, try and find their skis, try and ski down the mountain. And as you can imagine, it's pretty dangerous. One of the bars closes at nighttime. So in the dark, people ski down. We ski down at the end with torches, trying to find people if they're in the trees or whatever. And we came across a seasonaire, so a worker who was actually in the river. He'd gone in after his snowboard and he was too drunk to really think and to come out. So our guys, our ski angels, got him out, got him to safety, warmed him up because he was freezing, freezing cold. So we have all sorts of ways of reaching the seasonaires with God's love, really showing it in action.
Now, those unfamiliar with Meribel, it is a fairly upmarket place, would you say? How do the locals respond to what you're doing?
So we've had... when we first started, when we were just doing the church and before we started doing any of the outreach or the outreach, we got a lot of kickback, a lot of resistance from mainly hardened seasonaires, the ones that are there. So every year, mainly Brits, but a few French as well, actually, to be fair. And we'd advertise on Facebook who that week's chaplain was at the chapel service. And we would just get nothing but grief on Facebook. But then what we found is as soon as we started giving back to communities, as soon as we started Ski Angels and these free open house nights, and people realised that A, we're here for a long term, and B, we're here to help, then the attitude just shifted. And now we're at a point where Ski Angels are just so welcomed, and people have heard of us before they even got to the ski resort. I've had the sort of number two of the police up there come up to us and say, "We love what you do, keep it up." I remember one ski angel shift I was doing, I was helping a young seasonaire, and this South African family arrived at their chalet for their holiday as I was standing outside their chalet. And they'd literally flown in, and they'd heard of Ski Angels before they'd even arrived at their holiday resort. So his reputation is now spreading far and wide.
And it's such a benefit for, like, the nightclub owner. He had he was closing up the nightclub 5 o'clock in the morning, and there was someone who'd lost their keys, lost their phone, was super drunk. And he doesn't know what to do with her because he can't take her back to her, to his place. And she can't sleep on the bus stop where she was going to sleep because it's freezing, freezing cold at night, and it's really dangerous. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was actually awake and I was praying for him and for ways of reaching him with the gospel. And he knocks on our window and we go and see what's up. And he asks us if we could take this girl into our chalet for her to sleep. So she came for the night, and it was just great, wasn't it? It's good to be able to help like that, really.
Well, that's it. We've just got a reputation now amongst all the owners, the bar owners, the restaurant owners, the shop owners. We're now known as the safe place to go. If any of their staff are having any mental health problems, then they come and talk to us. You know, Lara's scooped up a lot of seasonaires who have had a few mental health issues. And they, you know, most of them have been found by their bosses recommending them come and see us.
Well, that's great to hear. So in my introduction, I hinted that you kind of enjoyed or potentially enjoyed this kind of ministry. It sounds very idyllic, but what are the leadership challenges? There must be quite a few.
There are certainly quite a few. But one of the biggest ones actually is the sort of 6 month on, 6 month off lifestyle. So it's fine if you're married because you can go back to your family home or wherever. But if you're single, you're then going back to the summer season in the UK. Where do you live? Because you can't rent somewhere for 6 months. So people tend to have to go home, which is lovely, but it just leads to a very nomadic lifestyle, really. And for us, I think one of the biggest challenges has been that we started really small and it was just us and we didn't really know what we were doing, and we just grabbed a team of young people to help us. And we've grown really quickly, which has really had its challenges. You know, we had no leadership training And suddenly we're leaders. We've got boards and policies and structures. And we've certainly felt a bit out of our depth at times. And we're now desperately trying to upskill ourselves, trying to do some leadership training. I'm sort of learning that to be a reactive leader when you're tired is not the best of things and not fun for anybody. So I'm learning how to lead well when under stress.
I think one of the challenges, leadership or not, is just the fact we're living in a chalet for 6 months a year with 25 to 30 other people. So they get to know you warts and all. So it's not like you're just a leader on a Sunday morning in church. You're literally a leader 24 hours a day. So you just have to be very aware of that. And you know, we are leading 18-year-old upwards. So we have a massive influence on them, whether we like it or not. So it's being ready to apologize when you get things wrong. And it's being humble, it's being vulnerable. But equally it's having the strength to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. This is where we should be going. And that's, you know, sometimes we get it wrong and it's not easy, but bit by bit we're growing and God's, you know, it's all in God's strength. We couldn't have done it. You know, there's no way this would have happened if it wasn't for God. So we're just holding on tight to him, and it feels like a roller coaster a lot of the time. A lot of just sort of technical issues, like getting visas for the young guys to come out, or the chalet every year. We're told it's the last year with the chalet. So then you drop down on our knees praying again, and lo and behold, we get the chalet for another year. So all those challenges, which just come from the nature of the mission as well.
And I think the spiritual attack that comes along with it, Andy, is really huge. So, you know, the part in the Bible when King Jehoshaphat leads his army out with the worship team. We love to lead our season with worship. So our worship is really strong. We truly believe that we have to lead with worship to fight this battle. And that we had last year, we had our first Altitude Worship Festival. So we gathered everybody and had a massive worship festival, and that was really brilliant.
We also see a massive pattern of battles and blessings. So we know when there's a battle, there'll be a blessing ahead, but equally we'll know there'll be a battle to follow it. So we're getting very used to that pattern.
I'm going to ask what God has been teaching you. That's kind of, you've already said a number of things. I don't know if there's anything else to add.
I think mainly just to trust him. You know, we really have to trust him every step of the way. There's been so many situations where we've had to work completely in his strength, and that's been a huge blessing and big lessons from that, really.
And I think we've always used the phrase that God equips the called, he doesn't call the equipped. And certainly that's true in our case. As Laura said, we haven't been trained in this. You know, our experience before starting Altitude was we'd run a small ski chalet company. So we knew how to do the sort of catering hospitality side of it, but we certainly didn't know how to have sort of 20 young Christians on mission before. But God has clearly called us to it, and so he's equipped us. So that's definitely one big lesson for us.
As you think about the future, will there come a time when this lifestyle no longer appeals, when the body no longer allows? I mean, it is a physically demanding ministry that you're involved in, as well as a spiritually demanding one.
Yeah, you're right. I think we take our example from Will's dad, who is 90 and just given up skiing. So we know there's some years left. The lifestyle, I think when we have grandchildren, probably the to and fro lifestyle will probably come harder.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think we just absolutely love, you know, meeting Jesus late in life and making so many mistakes without having him as, you know, our savior throughout growing up. We're super keen to reach these 20-year-old seasonaires who are young, who are often broken, change their lives. And then by doing that, you know, Jesus is changing the lives of their children and their grandchildren. And that transformation that happens, you know, we never tire of seeing that transformation in these young seasonaires.
I think we'll keep going until God tells us otherwise. You know, that's been the pattern up till now. We do one step at a time. God's very gentle with us. You know, when we first started this journey, you know, he didn't tell us, right, you're going to be running a mission with 30 people in the chalet and reaching hundreds. It was like, you know, just open the chapel, and then next year, just open the chalet. And, you know, everything's just been one step at a time. But I think what's, as Laura's alluding to, a lot of these seasonaires, you know, we're changing their perceptions. A lot of them are broken, but also, and some of the kickback we get when we're talking about our mission is, you know, sure, like if we're fundraising, surely we should be helping poor starving kids in Africa, and these are rich kids as you say, one of the best ski resorts in the world. But firstly, everybody needs Jesus, and B, if these guys get it, then their influences, they're going to go home and change their communities and change their countries and their nations. And it's also, it's like an Ephesus, it's a melting pot. When we do our beer and burger night with over 200 people, we've got at least 10, if not 15 different countries represented from all over the world, South Americans and Australians and South Africans and Europeans, and all in this one room, and they're all encountering the love of God. So it's a massively powerful place. So we're not giving up until God tells us to.
Sure. So there'll be some listeners thinking, I wonder if I could combine a passion of some kind with what we might call ministry or mission. What would you say to them?
I think God gives you a passion for a reason, you know, whether that passion be train spotting or skiing or bird watching or music, whatever that passion is, he's given it to you for a reason. And so, yeah, just talk to him and ask him. And you know, just as I was walking down that road praying in the ski resort, why are we here, God? You know, he'll answer your question, and he'll lead you into that passion. So, yeah, absolutely, you can combine them both. But, you know, for us, it's an absolute, we just love doing it. And people are often amazed at our energy levels during the season, because we're both in our 50s. And as you say, it's hard work, especially ski engineering. When you're walking up and down hills carrying people's skis, it's very hard work. But God just, because he's placed us there, he gives us the energy. I remember saying to our altitudes, you know, I was 49 when we opened the chalet door. And that was the first time in my life that I knew I was doing what God had made me for. So it's no matter how late in life you get there, but God will give you the resources that you need.
That's precious. And how could people support what you're doing financially?
Well, definitely prayer. Before finances is always prayer. We've got our website, altitudemission.com, and on there is a little box to sign up to our prayer email. And when the season starts, weekly emails come through just asking for prayer. And financially, there's a whole load of different ways, actually, from becoming an impact partner, which might be £5 a month, or maybe sponsoring a beer and burger night. Each beer and burger night costs a lot of money if we're feeding up to 250 people. So sponsoring maybe a beer and burger night, or even we're looking for an ultimate jackpot, Andy, of someone investing in a base for us, because at the moment we rent our chalet each year and it's very unpredictable, and we would love to be able to have a base to work from. But really it's prayer, you know, the more prayer we have, the more we're surrounded. And it makes things easier for us.
And as we said at the beginning, you can actually come out and stay with us, so whether just for a week or 2 weeks or a whole season, and obviously that brings income in for us as well, but more importantly for you, it's an incredible opportunity just to live in a Christian community, to do a holiday with a purpose, to be on mission and to ski. If you love skiing and love Jesus, then this is a place.
And I think people love seeing the enthusiasm of our team, and how young they are, and how on fire they are for God. You know, it's incredible to witness and incredible to be part of.
Well, I'm sure there'll be many people thinking about planning their ski season listening. So, hey, maybe they'll find their way to yourselves. And in terms of being part of the team, are there still places on your team to be a ski angel or whatever?
So, yeah, as we're talking about the altitudes, we call them, those are the guys that come out for the whole season. Officially, our application has closed, but if I know this podcast is going out and this interview is going out after our closing date, but if you mention this podcast then, or this radio station, then we'll consider your application.
Oh well,
guarantee it. But yeah, but we'll manage to stretch the window for you.
That's quite an offer. So I'm encouraging listeners, please make this worthwhile. Fantastic. Well, it's been terrific to chat with you. Exciting to hear how the Lord's led you and what God's doing. And I'm sure this will be an inspiration to many leaders listening, and perhaps to some who have an idea that's germinating that maybe they need to take an action on it. So thank you so much to Will and to Lara.
Nice to meet you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
That was my conversation with Will and Lara Sussman, Susman, who head up Altitude Mission. Altitudemission.com is where you'll find details about their ministry if you want to support them in prayer or in financially, or indeed, as Will encourage us at the end, if you're someone who might be part of their altitude team that seeks to serve God on the slopes for 6 months or so in the winter season. So, and you may be, as Will alluded to, someone who has an idea and a dream, and maybe this conversation is a prompt to you to take some action on that idea. Maybe share it with a few friends, maybe push a few doors. On the Leadership Show, we like to not only focus upon leadership for those who have leadership titles, but also that we may all use our influence for God. And sometimes that means taking a bold step and starting something or developing something completely fresh and seeing God at work as he was with Will and Lara. If you've enjoyed this conversation, then you'll find other conversations on archive by going to premier.plus, the app or website, type in the profile, and these conversations are called the Leadership Special. Or if you prefer to get podcasts via Apple, Podbean or Spotify, simply type in the Leadership Show or its former name, the Leadership File. And there's many hundreds of shows with various topics and speakers that hopefully you'll find of interest and value. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.